It's me, Mark Lloyd. The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. That's Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show. On this fantastic Saturday, as always, we have a lot of stuff to get to. It's, you know, we have 1 hour, and it's always a jam-packed show. And this week, though, Terminus Eric, we are not a man down. Seminole Bill is back in the house. Seminole, how are you?
Great to be back in the land of no snow.
In the land of no snow. Isn't that the truth? We're gonna hear about Seminole Bill's Pennsylvania trip to Harrisburg, I'm pretty sure it was, in just a minute. But Seminole Bill, I want you to know that Terminus Eric and myself, we held down the fort last week.
I knew you would.
And the Rocket Show was very good. Gus had a lot of good things that were on topic, I guess you could say. We really focused on the combine. So it was a great show. But we missed you.
Thank you. Missed you guys, too.
I was in second place, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did get second place again with the water, I'm sure.
And he was a strong second place.
Really?
I mean, he was only about 65 ounces below me, but it doesn't matter because there was no... you know what? We agreed that we said he got second place, not last place.
Right.
There was only two of us when he came to the water check, and we will do another water check later today. See if Eric can hold on to his second place in front of us. Seminole Bill, also our fitness tip comes up a little bit later, and we have... You know what, Seminole Bill? It's like this every week now. There's so many different minor slash a few major topics that are always going on in the world of sports. And it's great that we have a chance to touch on as many as we can each week. Obviously, we wish we had more time, but we have some football news, okay? We have spring training that has opened up that we're going to talk about for a minute. We also have questions about the college game and in relation to storming the court and also the one-and-done rule. But first, Seminole Bill, I did want to give you a chance to talk about the combine and specifically the FSU players that participated in the combine last week in Indianapolis, and it seemed like they all had a really, really good combine, from Carlos Williams being the second fastest running back to Darby being the second or third fastest cornerback to Jameis Winston just absolutely tearing it up.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts? It seemed like it was an overall a really good performance by the Florida State players.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it makes you, I guess you have to really just look back and appreciate what we have had here the past few years, because we came out of a little bit of a era of mediocrity, I guess you used to kind of call it, or some people call it the lost decade. And here we are, you know, a few years in Jimbo's contract, after being the coach and waiting at FSU for those years. And it's happened almost exactly the way he said it would, developmental-wise, starting with great recruiting, getting the recruiting back where it needed to be, with, you know, honing the team, a certain attitude, bringing our defense back, you know, with Stoops and then, you know, the progression, and just getting great players that can help our team at FSU do well. And it's carried over into the pros. And it's amazing to say this, that how many quality players we've lost and folks that have even left early, and we've been able to do what we've done over this, you know, past few years. Nothing short to me of remarkable, putting us back in the spotlight where FSU deserves to be in the college football world. But that's the fan of me talking, but
No, I hear you. Let me ask you specifically about how happy were you with the way Winston performed by going out there, throwing the football, and being who he is, just an incredible football player. And his IQ when it comes to football is just off the chart. And once again, I chuckle at the people out there that I guess it's, you know, I want to say it's their job when it comes to the media to bring up, you know, well, should Winston go, should you take a chance? And I'm just listening going, are you insane? You know, I guess they're saying it just to get people riled up, but it doesn't even make sense. The guy goes out there and just absolutely crushes it at the combine. And usually you crush it at your pro day where you got your own environment and your receivers and everything. And the pressure, see what someone will go, I'll give you a chance to talk on this, but the pressure that this guy was under and to go out there and to perform once again like he always does, if you're an NFL team, you just say, and specifically the Bucs, he's our guy. If we're going to be led to the promised land anytime soon, he needs to be the quarterback because nothing phases this guy, period.
Well, that's absolutely factual. I mean, look, you and I both know on the offensive side of the ball, if not the entire team, where the pressure lies in the pro football ranks is going to be the face of your program 9 times out of 10 is usually going to be that quarterback. And if it isn't, then you know, you're looking for one like that. And to be able to do what he's done, the first thing I thought of, I was catching bits and pieces in you know, between other things I was doing up there, but I can assure you that I finally saw, again, at least it looked like the Jameis we saw come in his freshman year that was having fun, enjoying himself, being who he naturally is, who sometimes gets criticized for being that way, but just being the fun-loving, swagger-toting, bringing the swag back, enjoying it, throwing the rock, going out there and not letting anybody get in his way, not worried about what anybody says, he's got an answer for it, not so much rehearsed, just being him, naturally who he is in his own environment, showing people like the ex-San Francisco coach, I apologize, name escaped me right now.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, he was hanging out with Harbaugh, and then of course, you know, going back to Mooch, they call him.
Steve Mariucci, yeah.
The intelligence of the young man that is Jameis Winston, who can do no wrong on the field except a gaffe that he will say will haunt him from the Oregon game. But look, I mean, all kidding aside, the young man, makes the right decisions on the field, and you can say what you want about questionable this, questionable that, and try and bring him down. If you don't take the man number one overall, you're just a fool waiting for something bad to happen to your team, because Tampa Bay doesn't need any more reminders of why they missed a person in the draft. They've had enough of those over the years, and they were trying to shake that for a long time. They need to get Jameis, put butts in the seat, and watch what happens and build that team around. They've got some things in place, and he's only going to make them better.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the quarterback is the only position, Bill, and that I don't want to bring Vegas into the picture, but they are the ones out there, the guys that set the lines in Vegas that have an unbiased opinion. They really don't care. It's all about setting the correct spread and giving value to different players. And the bottom line is the quarterback is the guy that moves the line. The quarterback is the guy that is worth, you know, 5, 6, a touchdown if he was injured and not playing in the game. No matter how great J.J. Watt is for the Houston Texans, and he's great, he doesn't affect the outcome of the game the way the quarterback does. That's why when people are talking about should Tampa take, you know, a defensive lineman or even a Marcus Mariota, who now the speculation is swirling that the Eagles are going to sell the farm. And, of course, it's speculation to try to move up in the draft to get Mariota. So we'll see about that. All right, Bill. Similar Bill, before we go to break, what was Pennsylvania like?
Ooh, let me tell you, we were up there when all that snow came through at a conference. And I will tell you this. I forgot what it feels like to walk through that stuff because I did that some in North Carolina when I lived there. But, man. It was cold. The folks up there were very nice. I will say we were in the Harrisburg area. Everybody was polite, you know, joking around, you know, why are you up here from Florida? I think the real quick funniest story was one night when the gals were very hungry coming back from a performance. They were at this place. They didn't eat, so it got late past room service time, and old Seminole Bill put on his black and gold Steeler jacket happily and trudged out in the snow. About half a mile up the road was a Rite Aid, and it was cold walking through that stuff. I was watching the snow plows going back and forth, making sure I wasn't in front of the plow, you know, trying to make sure I could avoid that in time to get them something to get back there within a reasonable time. But that is I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of respect for people doing that. But I got up there, and the funniest thing was walking the security guard there at the 24-hour ride. He pays me a compliment on the Steelers jacket. Said, "Oh, go Steelers." I said, "Well, yeah, go Steelers." I said, "It's good to be able to wear this up here in you know, native land." And he looked at me and said, "Well," he goes, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, from Florida." And I said, he goes, "Well, whereabouts in Florida?" I said, "Well, near Tallahassee." He goes, "No kidding." He goes, "I'm 50 miles down the road from you in Madison." He goes, "But I left there in 65. He goes, "But small world." I'm like, I came all. And then, of course, inevitably, as a Seminole fan, I'll say this last thing. At the register was a gentleman with a University of Florida Gator tattoo that gave me the Go Gators. No matter where I go, I run into Steeler fans and Gator fans unequivocally.
So that is too wow. Unbelievable.
It was pretty amazing. The two people at the Rite Aid, and there they were.
Yeah. That's too funny.
A lot of fun, though. A lot of fun.
Good for you, trudging through the snow. All right. When we come back, we're going to ponder the question about storming the court or the field. Is it too dangerous to continue to do that, and can you even stop that? All that coming up here, next, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on this Saturday. We are brought to you by Fraud Protection Network. Start protecting your identity today with the Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. Give them a call. Let them start protecting your identity. Call them at 855-203-0683, or you can visit them on the website, Seminole Bill, at...
That's fraudprotectionnetwork.com.
Yes, sirree. Okay, Seminole Bill, this past week, did you see or hear about the Kansas State basketball game?
I did hear that, and I guess heard some follow-ups with the other night where they actually were looking for the person that was the person of question, I guess they would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even in like the bigger picture is that you have, you know, all these people running onto the court, and first of all, it's almost like, come on, you know, K-State, you've won, I think, like, you won last year, you won a few times now, so it's like, is it really that big of a deal that you beat Kansas again? You know, it wasn't March Madness and knocked them out of the tournament, you just beat them during the season, but whatever. That's another question to ask. But I think that it's part of the game, you know, it's part of college sports, it's part of the excitement, it's part of the pageantry. It is all that, but there is a side to it though, that you know the safety of the opposing team, the safety of your own team, because you do get idiots, right? And
yeah.
You might get an idiot that wants to go and say something to another player on the other team, to the coach on the other team, that they can't get out of there safely, and you know it brings up the question. Should it be stopped? You know, but here's another question. Can you even stop it? Or, Seminole Bill, here's one more question for you. Is there it might sound cheesy, but an organized way to storm the court or the football field?
Interesting. Kind of like bringing the goalpost down the way they do now with laying them down, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because when was it? Was it? I don't know if it was this past college football season, or I think it was an Ivy League game too, that the girl got really hurt because of the goalpost coming down.
Right.
I don't know if don't quote me on that, but I know a girl got hurt in the post game because of the field goal post coming down. So I don't know when, where, but I just remember hearing that. So it is dangerous. But you know what? First of all, have you ever stormed, you know, the court or the football field?
You know what? Golly,
big Florida State game or something.
Yeah, I think you know. I was thinking back to maybe the old basketball after we beat way back in the, when we were in the Metro, maybe Louisville or somebody, and we were there underneath the basket. I think we did it once, but football.
Never had a football game. You never jumped over the wall at Doak Campbell.
I you know what? Honestly, I don't think I have. I really don't. I mean, I guess it's because, you know, you're used to being on the field. I mean, you're used to getting clobbered by your own guys when you have a big game.
Very good.
A dog pile, you know.
Yeah. You know what? I was when I was covering different teams, and I believe it or not, I was at a Florida State game, and I didn't storm the field because I was already down on the field as a press member. But it was the game against the Gators that Florida State won. It could have been the Marcus Alston game. It was one of the most unlikely victories.
Oh, yeah.
When maybe it was 95, 96. But the bottom line was, I remember the Florida State police or somebody shooting tear gas.
Wow. You know,
tear gas. Because I remember going, God, my eyes are burning now for some reason. And I realized, oh, there's tear gas. And it is crazy out there.
It's a phenomenon. I mean, now I think I know the – one of those games that you may be referencing was when Outson was our QB, and Peter Warwick, I want to say, wound up throwing a touchdown pass to Ron Dugans in that game, the one I'm thinking of before we went out to play in Tempe that year.
Good point. That might have been it.
That was a wild and crazy game because we really, you know, everybody thought we were going to lose that game because we were without, I guess Winky at the time, quarterback.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I mean, what are your thoughts? Should they stop it? I know in the SEC now they fine, you know, they put out fines against the college, the university, and everything during the football game. I don't know if it's the same thing for a basketball game, but should it be stopped? I don't think it should be stopped. I think though, for the opposing team and even the teams, you know, the home team also, I think that there needs to be security provided, especially for the visiting team. I don't understand why you can't have, you know, four or five policemen, you know, at that game if you feel there's potential that the other team, if they pull off a victory, the fans are going to run onto the court, that those four or five policemen can easily protect the coach, and then, you know, it's players, and then walk them off the court. To me, that seems the most logical solution, because other than that, I don't know what else you do, but you have to protect it, because sooner or later, someone will, and maybe it's happened, and I just don't know of it. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get really hurt. Are you going to find some idiot that's going to take a swing at somebody? You know, I mean, something like that.
Yeah, you know, I do recall some incidences in the past, and I think probably one of the – I mean, I think you're right. There needs to be some element of control for protection of the players, and even to some extent for certain fans, because, you know, not all the fans go down there with the intent to do anything. But, you know, most of them were down there to celebrate and have fun. But there are some, like you said, the rowdier ones, maybe some that have been drinking or doing some other things a little bit to excess, that things can get out of line. And I think probably one of the funniest things I saw that didn't involve actually storming the court, but it felt like it was years ago in a FSU basketball game over there at the TLC double C, I guess they call it now. But Dwayne Schentzes, after a incident with a tennis racket, he was an old Gator center. I'll never forget that after a TV timeout, or right before TV timeout, after he had a shot blocked or something, and I there must have been 1,000 tennis balls came out. Just,
oh, that's too funny.
It hit the court, and just, it was like, you know, a hat trick in hockey. It was just covered.
And even
Schentzes thought it was funny. He was laughing. But it was they came from nowhere. And of course, you're not supposed to bring things like in like that, but it just was a reaction. Something he did that year involved a tennis racket that was, everyone was making fun of him for it, and they just let him have it. It was hilarious. But
that is pretty funny. And you know what? Speaking, good segue, Somerville, because this is what also I wanted to get into. And that is staying with the college game. It's funny you mentioned, you know, Dwayne Schentzes and other great college players, but there is, right now, once again, the topic has risen about this whole one-and-done thing. And I think the reason that it's one-and-done when it comes to a college basketball, where a player basically goes to that school for 1 year, and if you're really good, you're gone. You're off to the NBA. It's a pit stop along the way. And I think the reason that it's one of those topics that's hot and heavy right now is because how great Kentucky is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Kentucky is made up of, amazing, you know, 10 one-and-done guys. I mean, that's what he does every year. He goes and gets five-star guys, and they all go to the NBA, and he gets five more star, you know. And so his whole team is nothing but five-star recruits, and they all jump to the NBA. And then it's funny because there's a valid argument for both sides. For the NBA sometimes, these kids are not ready. And this is not my opinion. This is me listening to guys that are expert in the game, you know, former NBA players that are now analysts, that these kids are just, some of them, they're just not ready to play in the NBA. They're not ready for the responsibilities of being in the NBA with the money and with everything that goes into it. And when I say they're not ready for the NBA, not is their body not necessarily ready to go and bang up against you know, these NBA players, these veterans. But I really do, because they're not ready, that it does hurt the quality of play in the NBA. And that's why you have, you know, a handful of teams that are good and the rest are just awful. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree with you. Quite frankly, basketball is kind of the weird one to me. I mean, baseball can still be that way. I mean, you can totally bypass college baseball and go right to the pros and get the farm system. But you have a farm system, you know. You have a natural progression toward somewhere else. Football's not that way. College becomes the farm system for the most part. You know, you can find a few little other places to play should you want to try your hand at it. But I think it is disturbing a little bit the way the basketball gets that situation, probably more than any other sport. And it is sad to see. A couple of things happen on both sides. You've got folks that really want to play at the college level that are going to be, you know, good to great college players, and then you've got these superstars, phenomenons that come through, and just like you said, have the ability to turn a scout's head and bring that person up after maybe 1 year. But does that, what it says to the game is really the game at the college level is not as important. And that's a shame because it does dilute the game with at the NBA level with kids that just aren't mature enough to play at that level yet. Just there's things that have to happen to get to that level to be a contributor, if not a superstar.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And here's here's the flip side to one of those. Who are we? You know, because you're allowed to. You almost feel like, so we're telling a kid that he's not able to go out and make a living in a profession that wants him. You know what I mean? So here's my thoughts. And tell me if you agree or disagree with this.
Okay.
I say that if you're in high school, in the NBA, I mean, in high school playing basketball, that if you are that good and a team's willing to take a chance on you, then I think you should be able to go from high school to the NBA and earn a living. Now, if you're in high school and you choose to go to college, I think that you should have to stay in college like they do in college football for 3 years. I'll get your thoughts on the other side of the break.
Good point.
Because I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. So ponder that for a minute. We're going to take a quick break here on the Mark Lloyd Show. We're coming right back at you in just a minute. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's gonna make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. You know, in football, the quarterback depends on his best offensive lineman to protect his blind side. But let me ask you a question. Who's got your back, huh? Who's protecting your identity? You hear the stories daily. Retailer after retailer having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. So how do you keep from being sacked? Well, now we have our own version of the Steel Curtain. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. And it's a beast, baby! Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring. It's real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Award-winning member service support and a $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, you can't afford to lose.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us. The whole crew is here this week. Terminus Eric Somerville is back from his Pennsylvania trip. He's been bragging to everybody how he walked, 10 miles to a grocery store at 2 in the morning in 20 below weather just to get some food and water so the family can make it through the weekend. Did I exaggerate just a little, Somerville?
Just a bit.
Yeah. I embellished a little bit on that. But one thing I never embellish on, and that is who is protecting the Mark Lloyd Show, and that's Fraud Protection Network. With the Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection, Give them a call at 855-203-0683. Tell them the Mark Lloyd Show sent you. Tell them that you want your identity, your wife's identity, your family, your friends, all their identities protected by Fraud Protection Network. Or you can visit them at the website at
FraudProtectionNetwork.com.
Yes, sir. All right, some of the before we went to break, I said that I think a high school player playing basketball should be able to jump right to the pros. But if they choose to go to college, they have to stay in college like the way they do with college football for at least 3 years. What's your take?
I concur with what you just said there.
Oh, you do? Okay,
I really do. I believe, just like you said, if they're going to make the jump, then making, you know, when you say you're committing to a school, I'm sorry, I don't care if it's here, Miami, Florida, wherever it is, when you commit, you're taking a spot, okay, on a very coveted roster, and you're getting the opportunity to go to a school and get an education paid for, you know, in most cases on the scholarship. That is not something to be taken lightly. And, yeah, you know, the temptation is always out there to jump ship, go make your money while you can, come back and get your degree later. But if that's what you want to do, then don't use the school as a stepping stone in that regard when there's other people just as adamant about being there to get their education and wanting to play 3 or 4 years at the university or at the college level.
You know what? I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, it's the school that needs to, or it's the NBA or whoever makes the rules that needs to drop the hammer and say, you can't do that anymore.
True.
Because imagine, imagine how great college basketball would be. Because right now, it's just, I mean, to me, the season means absolutely nothing. And last week, we're not going to get into it, but Terminus, Eric, and myself, we knocked around the whole how the college basketball season just lends the validity to the argument that you and I have made about the college football playoffs, how they should stay at 14s right now because it means so much and there's so much drama where college basketball, you know, it just doesn't mean anything. All right, I want to move on, though, because I wanted to get to spring training. We usually don't talk too much baseball here because nobody really cares about it, but it is spring training, and it has just opened up. And I have to say this. To me, baseball doesn't do much right. I'm not a big baseball. I used to be a huge baseball fan as a kid growing up. That was my sport of choice, to follow, to play, et cetera, et cetera. No longer. I barely watch any baseball because I just find it boring. I watch the World Series or something, but I do. I find it boring. Even on exciting games, I kind of find it boring. But the one thing that baseball does right, so much better than the other major sports, is preseason, spring training. For whatever reason, Somerville, can you put a finger on it? Why is it exciting? Why is everybody so excited over spring training? And I do, too. I get a kick out of it. Oh, the players are reporting. Oh, pitchers and catchers are reporting. You know, what's going on? And seeing the preseason, the spring training games and watching the highlights of them. What is it that we like about spring training in baseball but don't really care about baseball during the season because the TV ratings are awful? So that lends validity to what I'm saying.
I think it's an opportunity to get close to, you know, fans getting close to the professional baseball players and have an opportunity to meet some of those young rising stars as they are out there, you know, running around the diamond. And, you know, if you know anything about spring baseball, I was fortunate to be able to, you know, baseball was my first love too, but I was fortunate enough to go around a few years back with a gentleman that did a lot of sports talk and blessed to be able to run around and do some spring training down in, you know, your neck of the woods down in Orlando back in the day. And it was a lot of fun to go to the games and see how it felt like more like a hometown feel during spring training. Not that you're watching pro ball players, of course. You know, you're watching the Indians over there in Winter Haven, or you're watching the Red Sox, or you're watching the Yankees at Legends Field, whatever you might be doing. The Phillies over in Clearwater. But it's just such a neat time, you know, that the smell of the grass cut, you know, you're back out, you know, outside again, and the boys you know, are out there practicing and getting ready for what's coming up, and the coaches are out there hitting fungos and all the drills are going on. You get a, you
fungos,
really get the,
very good.
You
the
really,
fungos
really
back.
Get
wow.
to, yeah, man. You know, I remember those days. And so, I mean, being able to, I can tell you, you know, walking down, you, sometimes you get to go down, you know, by the field, get close.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, watching Tommy Lasorda, and this is something, you know, as a reporter, as a sports guy, you can appreciate, but being able to be down there near those kind of guys, man, what stories you hear. Watching Tommy Lasorda working with a young shortstop from the Dominican Republic and speaking Spanish as they're going back. Hearing, you know, the grand Italian, Mr. Yeah. Lasorda, speaking Spanish to the kid like he's a native, talking about, you know, get up there, you know, put get your hands out, extend your hands to make the catch. You know, all, just the art of teaching the game. And it's just beautiful to watch and the passion in it. You know, before it all, you know, was destroyed by other things, just the passion of those youngsters that really want to make it at that level. And being around it, it makes you feel really, really something special about it.
You know what, though? I think you're right. You've hit on some really good points. And one of them is that you are a lot closer to the players. It's a lot more relaxed atmosphere. They don't play in these giant stadiums, so it's a small stadium. It's a small venue, and it has that hometown feel. And because there's no pressure on anybody, the players, then their attitudes are just different, too. Maybe they're willing to sign more autographs. Maybe they have more smiles on their faces. It's the green grass, you know. It's all those things mixed together. You get a lot of foul balls and baseballs. And it's so weird because I grew up in Fort Lauderdale going to see the Dodgers. And it was some of the bill. It was the one time a year my mom let me and my brothers all skip school. And she would take us and some other kids. So there would be like eight of us all going to the Dodger game to play the Yankees down in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And it was just, it was the greatest thing. And I have vivid memories to this day. I mean, you're talking, I am 6, 7 years old, but I remember everything like it was yesterday. I remember seeing Don Baylor's car had windshield wipers on it. I remember that, you know, on his headlights.
Wow.
I'm sorry, on his headlights, he had windshield wipers. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I remember I was at the game in 1980, so I was 9 at the time, when Ronald Reagan got shot.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I remember, you know, that. So it's just spring training. It's so funny how they do it so well, and I don't think they even try. I think it's just falling into their lap because, let's be honest, Somerville, for the NBA, who goes to a preseason game? Not me.
No.
I don't even know if the NHL, do they even have preseason games?
Kind of.
I mean, I know they do, but
right.
My gosh. And then the all-powerful NFL, even the NFL.
Not even close.
No, yeah. It's not. They play the games.
Yeah.
Yes, they get good ratings because it is the NFL, but there's no pageantry behind it. There's no hometown feel. There's none of that at all. But, boy, baseball just does it right. And
And
here's my question. I wonder if kids that are our age back in the day, you know what I mean? Kids nowadays that are 8, 7, 6, 9 years old that we're talking about when we were there as little kids. I know you're talking about as you are an adult too and some of the great memories, but I wonder if they have that same feeling about spring training baseball. Or was it just baseball was the king back in the day and that's why we love it and that's why we have so many great memories. You know what I mean? Maybe now, is there great memories of kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old that are – it's all about the NFL or the NBA preseason that they went to, or I doubt the NHL, but you never know. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. You know, I remember, you know, baseball back in the day for me was my sport, way before football was. I can remember my mom loading up the station wagon with our little school team that would go around and play, our private school team down there. I played 3 different teams over there. And we'd go... She'd take us down to watch the Phillies play in Clearwater. I grew up in Clearwater. And I'll never forget being able to watch people
Larry Boa.
Larry Boa, Mike Smith, Bob Boone. the catcher.
Bob Boone.
Great,
Mike
great
Schmidt,
ball player.
Yeah.
Now, I was a Reds fan, but
Greg Rubinsky.
You're low, man. Let me tell you, you got to actually get out there and interact with them. They would see the one thing, like you said, they do right is at that level, the players do understand how important it is to connect with the kids. And most of the time, they're on good behavior. Most of the time, you know, before the era of the ego, I would say, they've been on great behavior. You will find yourself hanging around the stadium and getting those autographs. I mean, Derek Jeter, what a class guy. I mean, later on in life, I can say I got to see Derek when I worked a promotion with the Yankees and Mr. Steinbrenner when they opened Legend Field and they did this promotion at the Florida State Fair. I saw Derek Jeter, his rookie year, coming in there. I remember saying, that kid's pretty amazing, and just the way he handled himself then. And now to realize he's already out.
That makes
you feel old. But, I mean, watching those guys come through, and back in my day it was the Reggie Jacksons of the world.
Sure.
It was the Yastrzemskis from the Bo Sox. It was the Tom Seavers. It was the Pete Roses. All those guys.
Jim Wright.
Yes.
Go down. Steve Garvey. You mentioned Tom Lasorda and Davey Lopes.
Tons of people. But it was. I mean, you had the Hank Aaron still around. You had the Ralph Garz. You had all the Phil Negroes, the unique George Brett's. You had those unique players that you could actually see, those bigger-than-life players that were right there in front of you. The smell of the cut grass, the green grass of the stadium, sitting right there talking, nuts and bolts, asking for autographs, passing the hats, patting people on the back and getting the handshake, and just thinking, man, what better way to spend a day, even if you're skipping school, mom and dad, than watching a baseball game right there in your hometown before the guys head off to the big leagues again.
Good stuff. I hope everyone enjoyed that. Some of the Bill and myself going down memory lane.
That's it, man.
Remembering
that's
the days
right there, brother.
Of when baseball was king. Not anymore, though, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, I will let everybody know whose son at 10 years old is being recruited. 10 years old he is being recruited. Plus, we have our fitness tip, our water tip, The Walking Dead, and I have some NFL news about maybe a team moving to a city. All that coming up next, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's gonna make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
If you have something to add to the show, it better be as interesting as Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Boy, who does not love that music? Man, that is what a great soundtrack for The Walking Dead. And in our entertainment segment, we'll look back on last week's Walking Dead episode. And during the break, just that, some of the Bill and Terminus Eric and myself, we were talking about what a fantastic episode it was. So we're going to talk about that coming up in just a minute. But first, let me tell you about our good folks over at Fraud Protection Network. They're the ones that help protect the Mark Lloyd Show. They help protect my identity, Simple Bill's identity, Terminus Eric's identity, everybody's identity. And they can protect your identity also. Very simple. Give them a call. Ask them about the RapidPro Real-Time Identity Theft Protection Program. Give them a call at 855-203-0683. Tell them the Mark Lloyd Show sent you. Or you can visit their website at
FraudProtectionNetwork.com.
All right, Simple Bill, you ready for our fitness tip this week?
Yes.
It's kind of more of like a not necessarily the exercise side, but something that happens to all of us. It's late at night, and we get that craving, and we want, you know, the sweet tooth, and we want to eat a chocolate molten cake or Reese's cups or anything like that. Hang on. Resist that. Instead, grab yourself a slice of an apple with some peanut butter on it, you know, or maybe some fresh fig, you know, something like that, because it's sweet. Yes, it has sugar. Yes, it has a little bit of carb, but still, it's a lot better than other stuff. And I think as long as you have just a little bit of that, you'll be satisfied. Then you go to bed and you're good to go. And that helps shave some of those calories out late at night. Okay, time for a water check also. Hit it, Eric. There's our water check sound. Each and every week we do a water check here. It's important to drink lots of water every single day. And we like to crown a champion here on the Mark Lloyd Show. And that's usually me. That's why we like to crown a champion, because I know I have a good chance of winning. And I have consumed today 67 ounces of water. Similar Bill, what place are you at?
Bring it up probably the mid. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm at 52.
52? Okay. You're like the NBA sixth man. You get the most improved player. Unless Terminus Eric can stay in second place.
All right, so I have a question.
Uh-oh. Oh, Lord. Why? Let me ask you a question, Terminus. How come there's always a catch with your water consumption?
You had him a whole week to yourself. You didn't change him?
Okay, so can I count yesterday into today?
What?
That's like running the race tomorrow.
It's a question.
That's like, hey, I ran 13 miles yesterday, 13 miles today. Can I consider that a marathon and I won the race?
Is this a cumulative effect that he's asking for? He's asking for a handicap for us?
Yeah, exactly. We're not playing golf. All right, Terminus, how about this? What is your consumption between yesterday and today? I'm just asking.
101.5.
How much?
101.5.
Wow. So what is it today?
There we come to the real question.
Today, it is 50 even, pretty much.
It was close.
Seminole Bill holds on to second place, Terminus. But you know what, though? Seminole Bill, you had to relinquish second place to him, because that's an outstanding job of Terminus Eric drinking 50 ounces of water. That's a miracle, to be honest with you.
50 ounces of water in a week is a miracle for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yet alone one day. But congrats, Terminus.
Thank you.
Hopefully you're turning over a new leaf. I was trying to think of something clever just then.
A new lid.
A what?
A new lid.
A new lid. Yeah, very good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, before we went to break, I teased. Guess whose son at 10 years old is being recruited? LeBron James.
10.
His boy. And LeBron is not happy about it. He's upset that colleges out there are recruiting or making overtures towards his son, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's one thing. My first thing I say is, but dude, don't take video of your son, post it on Twitter, on your Twitter account, and you have 19 million followers.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. That's some pretty heavy exposure. But people bring up, boy, isn't that just too young? And before you answer some of the bill, I'll bring up something else. Isn't that just too young? I mean, he's 10 years old. He's playing basketball. And you know, you're already being recruited. And my initial reaction was, gosh, yes. That's way too young. But then at the same breath, I go, so why don't I have a problem with tennis?
Right.
Why don't I have a problem with soccer, you know, especially in the Premier League and, you know, European soccer? I mean, these kids are 10 years old. You know, I was reading David Beckham's book, and, you know, the dude was gone. He's off to live at Manchester United's, you know, minor league team at 11 years old, staying with a family he doesn't know. Hockey, they go all around Canada, you know, staying with families to go away to these junior camps and play there year round and go to school there.
Yeah,
you know, why don't we have a problem with that?
Yeah.
But my first reaction was that that's creepy. 10 years old and he's being recruited? He's just a little kid.
It's changed a lot, you know, since we were kids because, you know, we were kidding when I said that I used to have a leg up and get to play for three teams a year in baseball because I played, you know, for two in one place and one up played summer. That's the norm now. I mean, you know, how many traveling baseball squads are there for kids that are in, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids that are actually traveling around the country playing baseball, almost year-round? And, you know, football camps, the 7-on-7s or the, you know, all that stuff going on. It is nonstop now because athletics has become, you know, hey,
so
the next big thing you can do.
Should we not? Is it, you can't really say a case by case basis. It's just, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to make a note right now. I want to get into this next week because this is much bigger than just this.
Right.
You know, we only have a few minutes, and I want to get to The Walking Dead and also one other item before we have to get out of here. But we're going to talk about this next week. So I just made a note to that we'll get into it. All right. The NFL news, Los Angeles. It's so funny. You know, they're always been speculating to get a team, but it sounds like there's like a lot of momentum now. And the two areas, the two cities, is Inglewood and Carson. Those are the two cities out there that most likely, it's almost like whoever builds the stadium first will get the team. And here's the three teams: the Chargers, the Raiders, and possibly the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, the old Rams.
Yes, you could almost see. I mean, I can't see it, but the Chargers and Raiders would possibly be sharing a same stadium.
Kind of like New York, I heard the New York, kind of like the New York and the New York, New York thing with the Giants and
Giants. With the Jets and the Giants, or the Clippers and the Lakers.
Right.
You know, but then there was also speculation that maybe the Raiders would move to St. Louis.
Why?
How crazy would that be? St. Louis does not come across as a black hole type fan.
No.
I don't see them dressing up like that. They're great fans and everything, obviously, you know, especially with baseball. But, yeah, so that's just, you know, some news that is circulating out there, and we'll stay on top of it and everything. And so it should be interesting, though. It really should. All right, let's move on. Walking Dead, Somerville. Did you and Terminus Eric watch last week's episode?
We did.
We caught up because I missed it, you know, of course.
So you know what, though? I DVR'd it, too, because I wanted to watch the Oscars. And so I watched it Monday night. But what a fantastic episode. And what do you guys think? Is this guy Aaron, I think that's his name, Aaron and his partner, up to no good? Is this another Terminus situation going on at this new compound or community, I guess you could say?
I don't know. I mean, Rick had a point with how, I mean, they kind of like foreshadowed that every time they went up to the walls that it all seemed perfectly fine and it all was so quiet and everything like that. But this time around at the end of the episode, you know, I was actually kind of shocked to hear all the kids playing or the noise of all the kids. So I don't know.
That's a good point. So we heard the noise and the kids and everything. What was interesting, though, was in the preview for next week, they showed them inside the community. Once again, though, I didn't see anybody else. Maybe I missed it. I didn't see, you know, anybody around. And so, I mean, who knows? It can't be good.
Could this be a stop point for, like, Terminus was talking about where they're getting ready to bring on some new folks? Could this be a place where they settle down while they let another group get going and follow them, or is it possible?
No. Now I have to go and follow somebody else because we're already invested in these characters. But what it could be, similar Bill, is that maybe this community is safe, and now it's people are going to try to break in the same way they did with the prison. So,
yeah,
you know, it could go that way. But then I could see a lot of people out there as fans going, "Well, I've been there, done that. It's just a different environment now, but you're still doing the same thing." So I'm really curious about where they're going with this. But no, we're not going to follow another group because they got, you know, 5 years into building these characters, especially the main ones with us, and then at least a year with these other characters. And now here's the second season of building the Noahs and stuff like that, so we actually care about them, and et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, boy.
No doubt. All right, fellas. Great show. We appreciate everybody listening and tuning in as they do each and every week. So for Terminus Air and Sum of the Bill, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week. See you guys.
Yeah.